shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I am with two of my co-hosts this week. I'm here with Brian Mueller.
Let me just say this before I go any further. I don't think I have ever watched a movie for this show where I have had where we've had so many choices for.
I was just
going to
say that.
I know.
I was just going to say that. I can't decide on one.
There's a lot. There. Yeah.
It's funny that you said.
With that being said, I think the one I'll go with, and this might be a mistake, but you want to shake hands with Mr. Snake?
Yeah. I particularly enjoyed that one. I really, well, and even that scene was full of like catchphrases. It was like a guy had a little book of like funny ways to refer to his genitalia.
You want to take it home with you?
Yeah. And Cody Wolf.
I really honestly can't decide on one, so I'll say hello.
Our movie this week is Leprechaun 4 in Space. So, and I wanted to start right off with this. What is the title of this movie? Is it Leprechaun in Space or is it Leprechaun 4
on IMDb, in space? I think it's Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Yeah, I think it's Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Yeah, I think that's the
okay.
I haven't seen any of the other Leprechauns. Does the third one leave off with him getting like jettisoned into space Superman style?
I haven't seen him either, but I'm assuming they're saying that he's eternal, so he's just still alive and
we should have
looked
that up.
Future.
I would have actually, after seeing this movie, I would have been interested to see how they left things in Leprechaun 3.
I Wikipedia. Well,
I have the whole set over here. I just haven't watched any of them. I remember,
you know, the whole Leprechaun set and you haven't watched all of them? Well, what are you waiting for?
I remember we rented the first Leprechaun a long time ago and we made it like 20 minutes in, we turned it off. We never even finished watching it. It was just like, I did it just dumb.
Yeah.
I remember being just dumb.
That's really saying something for you, that you turned the movie off.
I know. That was before I subjected myself to all these bad movies and learned how to
you were weak
power
then.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one starts off with, and I had to look up when this movie was from, and I think it's from like 96-ish, 95,
really?
96-ish.
Well, I was looking, they made like one a year starting in 93.
They were cranking these out. And we get a...
Wow,
CG
they started in 93
spaceship.
And by 96 they're already in space.
They're already in space. This is like the Friday the 13th timeline, but like super accelerated. Yeah. They made it to space before Jason made it to space.
Yeah, by years.
It's like food fight level CG of a spaceship going across.
I really honestly thought that, I mean, it looked like, if it was made in 96, it made sense, but when I first started watching it, I thought it was like 2002 sci-fi, you know, original.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like that.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of Marines. This movie is all grossly a ripoff of Alien and Aliens. Like, pretty shamelessly, actually.
Without any of the things that make those two movies redeeming.
Right. With none of the positive qualities. Yeah. We get a bunch of Marines, including a sergeant who has a metal plate in his head. And everyone just seems to have... Almost everyone has just a nickname. Like, there's like a guy...
Everybody.
Moose. Lucky.
Yeah, it's like
Sarge.
Mooch, Lucky, Sarge, Sticks, Books. Books because he's smart.
Is that what it was?
I think that was it, yeah.
And then Tina.
And then Tina, who's a doctor, who they're on a spaceship, yet they all seem to be surprised to see her there, and they all seem unaware of what her job is. I don't know when this was going to be determined.
They're like super aggressive towards her, too.
Yeah, this movie is like a feminist
What
nightmare.
The hell?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is she doing here?
Yeah. This was very pre... In many ways, this is pre-feminism, I feel like, or...
In 1996.
Yeah. This feels like a movie from the 50s. Did anyone else get a kick out of the Marines' motto?
Semper Fi, do or die, kill, kill, kill.
Yes, yeah, Semper Fi, do or die, kill, kill, kill.
What's the first word?
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, which is the real
mean?
Marine.
Oh, okay.
It means, that's
slogan.
Like the real part, but... I don't think real Marines end their motto with kill, kill, kill. So, okay.
It sets the right tone.
Yeah.
It shows you the mindset in the future that Marines are in.
That's
They're
right.
They're just pigs who kill.
We've completely lost any social justice.
Is this supposed to be the future?
I guess so.
I would assume so.
How did this movie not start with like a shot of the Earth from space and
well,
explain
it started
what's
a shot
going
of
on?
Spaceship, didn't it?
It did say with a spaceship. I don't think it came
I don't
came
think
a
it
year.
Ever said, like, in the year.
This is probably the one quality this movie doesn't have that would have been helpful if they'd given us that sort
time
of
and
background.
Place.
Yeah. Where are we?
By the way, I looked it up. Leprechaun 3 did not end with him being jettisoned into space. He was burned in Las Vegas.
Okay.
That's the natural transition. You get burned in Las Vegas, you head for space.
You end up in space. The Marines are being controlled by a mysterious Dr. Mittenhands, who seems to be...
Dr. Mittenhands?
I feel like he's playing Dr. Evil
before
Dr. Evil.
But if this movie was in the future, then it'd be after Dr. Evil.
That's true. It's true. Yeah.
So maybe that's where he got the idea for
And at the same time, the Leprechaun is on like a Star Trek level set, who has a princess as a captive, and the Leprechaun, we learn, is a major perv, which is pretty weird.
Seems about right.
And then the princess at first is like horrified by the Leprechaun, but then he proposes getting married and shows her a ton of jewels. Then she's kind of into it, actually. She's not against this idea.
Not and at then all. She's totally into it.
Yeah, she's basically like into it. And she, in fact, she says at one point, she's like, "Ooh, you begin to interest me
a little bit."
And I'm like, "Okay."
I mean, isn't she? She's a princess. Like, is she like a poor princess?
Must be, yeah. Must be a poor planet.
Well, they do
a impoverished princess.
Don't they actually say that at one point, that her like family gave away all their money or something?
I wasn't paying that close attention.
No, yeah, I think they did say that.
I think they do say something about that. That like,
but they said also at one point that her father was like king of the underworld.
The underworld movies?
Oh, that.
With Kate Beckinsale? Well,
that's why he's broke. I know. Last few didn't make
those
any
movies
money.
Were terrible. That's the whole issue here.
You shouldn't have released the fifth one straight to DVD.
Yeah. So the Marines are going to rescue this princess.
Well, they keep saying...
No, I thought
like,
they were just doing it to get like get the monster out of the mines, because they said he was like disrupting the mining.
Right. I thought they were...
I think that's... You're right. I think you're right. That is what it is.
And I think they're like, by the way, there's a princess there.
Yeah.
Well, they kept saying like, oh, we gotta go kill that alien bastard and all, and then, you know, kept calling it an alien. I wasn't sure for like 5 minutes whether if they're talking about the leprechaun or not.
Well, that was...
Like, I don't know if they're going in and to kill an alien and then the leprechaun happens to be there too.
What was it? There was not even any evidence of there being any mining going on.
They went into the planet
and there's like no one there.
Except for Leprechaun.
But one of the Marines, they for some reason there's like, I don't know, how many, like 8 Marines maybe, roughly?
However many there were in Aliens.
They did, they just took the alien script and ported it over.
Interesting, okay, let's do this. Put a leprechaun in and make it big. Yeah.
And so one Marine, for some reason they're working in the theory of one guy goes ahead and 7 guys hang back and like, discuss like what they're gonna do later. So this one Marine finds the leprechaun's jewel stash, and he immediately just forgets his mission, takes off his helmet, and just starts loading jewels into his helmet.
Right.
I don't know what his plan was. Like, I don't know where it was gonna go from there. But the leprechaun then lightsabers him to death. The only time in this movie we see a lightsaber. I mean, it would...
Yeah, I was wondering, did they... I don't remember them actually showing the weapon. I just remember seeing like a close-up shot of the leprechaun like
swinging
back and forth.
No, they show him like turn it on and like a lightsaber comes out.
Comes out. So he has a lightsaber, but we never see it again. The leprechaun is sort of a James Bond in this way, in that he has gadgets and powers that are one use only and never to be seen again. So then the rest of the Marines come in and they get into a gun battle with the leprechaun, despite the fact that, by the way, the leprechaun's magical powers seem to have no limit.
Yeah.
He consistently gets into gunfights with the Marines. And then what happens? So one of the Marines throws a grenade. Where does this?
They end up in like a gunfight, and Marine throws a grenade, and the princess is like right next to it. She's like running towards it, and the leprechaun's like, "No, you're gonna get killed." So he jumps on top of the grenade, and
it's pretty heroic, actually.
Yeah, it was.
To save the princess, because he wants to marry the princess to get the power. That's right, because he wants to be a king. He wants to be a king. Okay, so if she dies,
so
he wouldn't be able to marry her.
This is basically Hamlet.
Aliens meets
Hamlet.
Aliens meets Hamlet. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that one line where he's like, "I'll bet her Wed her.
Oh, and murder her all in one day. Yeah.
Is that a Hamlet line?
I know it's a Shakespeare line. Yeah. I can't remember now if it's a Hamlet line, but it's based on Shakespeare.
Oh, God.
I'm not sophisticated enough to know.
It's a classic tale.
It's stealing from some great stuff. We're stealing from Aliens. We're stealing from Hamlet.
That's what made this movie so good. Yeah.
How did things go wrong?
It's Aliens. It's Hamlet.
So the leprechaun blows up and everyone celebrates. They're all like, yeah, we got him. We got the princess, whatever. And
I'm going to need some one help guy, understanding what happens here.
So the one guy is like, they're all like, the sergeant's like, all right, everyone, I'll move out or whatever. And the one guy's like, no, wait, this is my kill. I get to do this. And he like pulls his, or unzips his pants and starts pissing on the leprechaun's like arm or something.
Big mistake.
And this like, sounds like this is like a tradition in this squad. It's like, you get the kill, you piss on the body. It's kind of like what it.
All right.
So he starts peeing on the body and like it glows or something. And this like magic shoots up into his dick and he's like starts screaming in pain.
I think that is what happens, right?
Yeah, it's like,
happens. Okay.
And everyone starts making fun of him for having an STD or something.
Yeah. Which,
I think the one guy says, I would give you applause, but you already got the clap or something like that.
There's a lot of those very corny one-liners in
it's
this.
Like, why are they like joking about this? Like, they just killed what they think is an alien.
Yeah.
And some glowing green thing went up into his penis. Like, why is this? They act like this happens all the time.
Yeah, and he seemed pretty unconcerned by this. Like, it was just like, he was almost acting like, oh, that again.
Yeah.
You know? You should have learned your lesson on Endor.
Should have seen that coming.
So they get back to the ship. We find out that the Marines' contract is up at midnight, which is a plot point that goes nowhere. And didn't also make sense.
What was the contract for? They were
I don't understand.
I guess to clear the mine.
Was that all it was? Like, they're just escorting this doctor and clearing
the
mine.
The other thing I didn't get was, like, Marines aren't mercenaries. They're Marines.
Right. Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
They work for the government.
The government, yeah. Like,
it's not like they're like, oh, you have this weekend off. Yeah, feel free to contract yourself out to anyone that needs some hired guns.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand that at all.
Like, if they're gonna be mercenaries, just make them mercenaries. Why are you making them Marines?
Right.
Because they were Marines and aliens, right?
Yeah, but they were Marines.
That's why.
Yeah, they were colonial.
They were
Marines.
Like, well, we're off the clock at 4, so you deal with those aliens.
Yeah.
We're gonna go get some coffee.
I didn't. Yeah. So then all the Marines are just going to have fun, a little dance party.
And like the lamest dance
love
party.
I love the one line. Wait, did we go? Did we completely pass up that one medical bay scene?
Oh, well, it's right here when they get back to the. It's before the party, so yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Which one's that? Where they meet Dr. Mittenhams?
More Dr. Mittenhams' minion.
Oh,
with the ambiguous Harold. Sexuality.
Very.
In the first scene when they're loading the body into the medical bay, the princess's body.
Yeah.
The doctor lady is trying to give this Dr. Mittenhams has some like lackey guy who helps him.
What's his name? Like Larry or something? Harold.
Only one without a cool name.
Yeah.
Harold.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get him to do something, and he won't at first, and then, like, the lead Marine love interest guy, like, puts his hands on him, and he's like, do it! He's like, don't touch me unless you mean it. And then he, like, looks down at, like, his groin region, like, wantingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then later in the movie...
Yeah, but then later he's, like, groping a woman.
Yeah, he's really into women. Like, yeah.
So I guess he just...
goes both ways,
I guess, yeah.
It's the future.
His character, I felt like there were a lot of choices being made by that actor, but I don't...
That was contrary to the script and what the director wanted?
Yeah, I feel like he was just doing like some that stuff wasn't... on set and they were like,
I feel like the actor himself was confused about his character's sexuality, as if like he didn't realize that one scene where he's groping a woman is coming up later, so he's like, ooh, I'm going to make something out of this line. Like, it did not say in the script, look down at his groin and raise your eyebrows, but he was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
And this character is a real lackey in some scenes, but then is also totally strong and independent and a jerk to other characters in other scenes. I don't understand that one.
And then there's the great line right before the party scene where the sergeant with the metal head sees him working on something and he goes, hurry up, shithead, I want to get drunk. Oh my god. This guy's all over the place.
I didn't really... That character was insane.
Yes, I did. The sergeant with the metal head did seem to know the movie he was in. Yeah. And
he has such violent mood swings, though.
He does. He does. There's a very... He was maybe... The one, I think, intended laugh that I got out of this movie was from him and wasn't even a line he had. It was just a look he gives another character later in the movie. Yeah.
So they go to like the lamest party. There's like five people at this party, this dance party.
Great why lighting, though.
Even, yeah,
great lighting.
Why is there even this place? This is like a mining base.
Were they on
I think they're on a marine spaceship.
Yeah, they're back on the ship.
Yeah, but they seem to have...
So they're on a marine spaceship and they have a disco club in there?
I don't know if it was a marine spaceship. I think it was the doctor's ship.
Oh, you think it was, the Dr. Yeah, Mittenhands?
I think.
Maybe.
Because they're talking about leaving.
Mittenhands liking to get a little freaky.
I guess. Somebody did put a disco club onto a spaceship, though. Yeah. That is a...
I totally had flashbacks to, well, actually, this movie was made before this movie, but I totally had a fast forward to Mystery Men.
Oh, yeah.
Casanova Frankenstein having his disco club.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the disco club.
Yeah.
So then, everybody dance.
So then Lucky and a female Marine are kind of like hooking up in the disco club, and they decide to go off and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, and she's like, I don't know, everyone's going to notice. And he's like, no one will notice. Of course, the other three guys are like, hey, look at them.
Yeah, because there's like four people at a table, and those two are the only people on the dance floor. Like, they're not going to notice. Right. There's no one else in there.
Yeah. So they go off into, like, I don't know, like a quiet part of the ship.
It's like a hallway.
It's like a hallway, yeah. And things are kind of getting on, and then this is where we get the line from the beginning so many references to his penis. I mean,
it feels like he was trying out like different lines and they just put them all in.
Yeah,
it feels like one of those movies where like after they should have had a blooper reel for all the lines that didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my favorite one was like, oh, take it easy. You don't want to hurt Mr. Snake. I'm like, And she's even a little like, huh?
You're like, really what? Killing the mood here, Lucky.
Yeah,
like, don't talk.
And then he's in, like, agonizing pain. And she's like, what is going on in there?
She's like, I didn't do anything yet.
Yeah. And maybe... So, I don't even know how to describe this.
Well,
I don't...
It's hard to describe it without being...
They didn't really show it. It was more implied.
Well, they showed a bulge. He, like, falls on the ground, and he's screaming, and he's, like, grabbing his crotch, and then his crotch, like, bulges out as though he's getting, like, an erection. And then it gets, like, bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the leprechaun just, like, bursts out of it.
Bursts out of his pants, basically. Yeah.
So are we supposed to assume that the leprechaun... So I was wondering, did the leprechaun, like, explode out of there? Or did he, like, legitimately, like, creep through the little opening?
I assumed he exploded.
I think he exploded out like Hulk Hogan out of the roof of a limo. You know?
Ripping his shirt
off. Yeah. Just like, I'm here now. Yeah.
Wow, that must have been really painful.
Yeah.
No,
when they showed like him writhing in pain, it looked like he was still all together. Like, it didn't look like he had a huge hole in his...
Well, this isn't a good movie. That's a better movie that would have...
Yeah. And then he's... Well, I guess I'm just assuming he's dead, right?
Yeah, I figured
he was. Yeah, he's dead.
Okay. And the leprechaun immediately goes into a John Wayne impression. Because I guess in the future, that's what's big, are John Wayne impressions.
Listen here, Pilgrim.
Yeah. And he goes kind of tracking down the female Marine, who is now just running down the... like, running through
she's
the
running
ship,
back
trying to
escape
from him. Yeah.
But before that, they cut back to the disco and the discotheque.
The discotheque?
And
everybody dancing, having a good time.
And
Dr. Mittenhands here.
And Books is, he's like flirting with the doctor. He's like talking to her. He brings her over the bar or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And she starts talking about how...
We have to do this conversation. This conversation is...
Well, it's been,
go ahead.
First she's talking about, you know, he's like, oh, how's the girl that we rescued? And she's like, well, she's, you know, she's this and she's that. We're trying to reattach the hand and blah, blah, blah. She's talking about all these medical things that you're doing. And he's like, yeah, yeah. Well, and he goes, so you're a doctor, right?
No, I know. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Good follow-up.
Yeah. She says, oh, Catchley's okay. We're not sure we can save her hand, though. Oh, looks, that's tough.
Yeah.
So you're a doctor, right? What? No, we just... Sorry, yeah, we just had a random person. Sorry, the ship's engineer is in there determining we can save a hand.
So you must be pretty smart, right?
Yeah. God. And then Books is trying to hit on her pretty unsuccessfully. And...
Well, I like then, like, she... Then, oh, yeah, then, but her response is, well, it's all relative. And he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, it's like, what are you comparing it to?
What's your criteria? He says to her, like, oh, you're pretty smart then, huh? And she's like, oh, smart is relative.
Yeah, she's like, what's your criteria? And he has, like, a blank stare, and he's like, what are you comparing it to? And he's like, I know what criteria means. Yeah. I'm like, well, she just talked about, like, saving a person's life, and your follow-up question was, you're a doctor, huh? You must be pretty smart. Like,
yeah.
You can see where she's coming from.
Yeah. Her concerns are pretty valid, yeah.
I know what criteria means. I'm just thinking.
Yeah. I loved his exit line. So finally he gets to the point where he's like, in his own head, you can tell he's like, ah, this isn't getting anywhere. So he just, his exit line is, hey, I feel a lot better than I look.
And he's like,
wait, I don't think that makes sense. Like, nobody, no one seems to even acknowledge that as like a thing.
So that's when the other Marine, I can't remember her name, was it like Doreen or something?
Dolores. Her name is Dolores.
Everyone has a nickname, and then there's Dolores.
Yeah.
So Dolores comes crashing back in the disco, and she's like, "He's alive!" And
it's alive. Yeah,
and so they all have to then go looking for the leprechaun.
Yes. Yes. And then we also cut to Dr. Mittenham, Mittenhand, who. The princess has, I don't think through his treatment, but the princess regrows her hand.
Well, yeah, because she, you find out this is the whole reason that Mittenhand wanted her was because she has the ability, I guess her people have the ability to like regenerate body parts and skin and stuff. And you find out later, he's like half a person.
Right.
So he wants to use that ability to regrow his own body, I guess.
To regrow his own stuff.
So that's where you discover
Dr. Mittenhands.
Yeah.
As we discover that she has that power is when her hand just regrows.
Yes.
As Harold is like groping her up and feeling her up and
yeah.
Very creepy.
And Dr. Mittenham is like, Harold, don't tell anyone.
And then he starts kissing her feet at one point.
Yeah. And he's like, ooh, look at those knees. He goes.
So weird.
And Mittenham, the TV like sat with Mittenham on it, like comes behind him, is like watching him grope the girl.
Yeah.
Which is very awkward.
So now the Marines, using the same motion trackers that you're familiar with from the Alien movies, have tracked the leprechaun to the waste disposal chamber, which Metalhead Sergeant is like, Mooch, get in there! And like Dr. Tina is like, hold on, biological waste.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
You're a woman!
So she's like, let's put some people in suits and, you know, anybody, you know, we need someone in a suit to go in there. So Books and Mooch put on these biohazard suits and they go into the waste disposal chamber where the leprechaun is also in a biohazard suit. A child-sized So there was a child-sized biohazard suit ship. And he's just kind of walking around. They're all walking around. They're so dumb. At one point,
well, Books
just like pulls a chain and covers himself in goo.
Yeah. Then Mooch like opens a door and like steam comes out at him. It's like a hijinks like.
Yeah. It seemed like a episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple where like everything you do like causes some reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was waiting for the temple guard to like take their emblem.
Yeah. So then at some point, what happens?
I don't know.
The leprechaun like
the leprechaun does like a whole like West Side Story act where he like brings a switchblade up and then he like cuts a little hole in Mooch's suit.
And then Mooch is just melted inside of the suit.
This was one of my favorite parts when they take him back to the entrance.
This is great. Yeah, Books has to like drag Mooch back.
So he gets cut and then Books finds him and he's like, "All right, we gotta get out of here." And he's like, "Doctor, open the airlock."
and they open it up, and then they look over, and Mooch is just a straight up skeleton.
No, but before that, she's like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "It's Mooch!" And then she's a skeleton.
And it's a skeleton. I mean, just like a bleached nothing left.
At first, I thought the line was, "It's Mooch," was like, "Oh, he's hurt," because usually you see that in movies, like, you know, they get out of whatever area they're in, they bring him back to the ship, and he's got like a gash in his leg, and like, "Oh my god!" Yeah. But there, I think he was just saying it because, like, no, just to let you know, that's Mooch. That's a skeleton. You can't identify him, but trust me, that's Mooch.
Yeah.
He was less skeleton when I picked him up.
They really put the wrong emphasis on the line. Instead of like, "It's Mooch," it should have just been like, "It's Mooch."
Yeah.
And just in case you want to identify the body.
As he was dragging him, was he dragging a skeleton?
No, because when they dragged him, you could see it was still him. And because he was like, oh, like writhing in pain from
I wonder why I got lighter as I was dragging him.
Yeah, so he went from like uncomfortable to skeleton, in a matter of 10 seconds. Yeah. Wow. So now they have a meeting. The Marines have a meeting with Dr. Mittenhands.
I think that made me laugh more than anything.
That was pretty good.
I was like, oh my god, that
when
escalated
they cut
quickly.
When they the skeleton, I laughed.
It's Mooch.
Yeah. That was great. And that's where we find out Dr. Mittenhands is a cyborg, mostly robot, partly human.
Yeah, like that top half of his torso and his head is human, but the rest is like a... It's just a robot, like on
it
wheels.
Looks like a like 1980s water fountain as his base.
Yeah,
like this big bulky like square base.
Yeah,
yeah. They renegotiate the contract, which by the way,
that was kind bizarre, of a funny scene.
Yeah, what a bizarre.
It was a bizarre
thing
scene.
Of dialogue this was.
And there was the metalhead sergeant who renegotiated the contract. We later find out he's a robot, so it was a robot. Renegotiating a contract with a cyborg?
You're talking like percentage points and back end and
what I didn't get was like you're talking about like renegotiating for a bonus and a piece of the revenue from whatever they're getting from the mining. Like were they they weren't actually mining, right? I thought it was all just like a front to
I thought so
get
too.
The princess.
Yeah. I honestly didn't understand this scene. Like the terms of this negotiation and what was being decided on was completely.
He's like, I want 5% whatever comes out of that mine. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't understand that.
But so because they're like, well, our contract ends at midnight. We're taking off, and he says, well, in your contract, there's a clause that says I can extend the contract if there's an emergency, and that's what I'm going to do. And then they negotiate this thing so that they'll stay longer and find and kill the alien, the leprechaun.
Yeah.
And so they decide on a fair deal, and then they go out to find the leprechaun again.
They go and they split up, and Dolores is working with the metalhead sergeant in really just. Some of the best dialogue we've had. This is my favorite scene in months. So yeah. Dolores, who is the Marine who was with Lucky when a leprechaun came out of his genitalia, is walking around with the Sarge. I'm just going to present her dialogue as it was in the movie.
It's raw and organic.
Hey, Sarge, do you think it was my fault Kowalski got killed? I mean, I'm the one who gave him the boner.
What? Fair is fair.
Yeah,
I'm the one that started reaction.
That's a logical train of thought.
And so that's going on. So then I'm like, where is this scene going? And I'm like, how is the metal-headed sergeant going to respond to this? He goes, yeah, Kowalski would have wanted it that way. He was a Marine. What? What? He wanted to die a leprechaun coming out of his genitalia?
No, he wanted to die with an erection.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
He would have wanted to die.
But did he die with an erection?
Well, I'm not even sure.
Leprechaun.
I mean, it's not like he had an erection and then like someone shot him and he died. Like, yeah, he had an erection, but then a leprechaun exploded through his groin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then the sergeant's like, come to think of it, when I go, I want to go just like that, standing tall.
And then Dolores is kind of into it, and she's like, oh, really? And then the look the sergeant gives her is the highlight of the whole movie, where he's like, ooh, it's just a look where he's like, you are a freak. Stay away.
This brings, like, the number of times
the camera has gotten a close-up shot of someone, like, staring at someone's groin lustfully to, like, four at this point.
It's pretty, yeah. It's pretty young. Which also raises the question, if Kowalski did not get an erection, would he still be alive?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too.
Yeah.
Like, did the leprechaun need, like, more of a clear passage to get out?
I know.
I think he was probably waiting for a good opportunity. That was the best opportunity that presented itself.
Okay. Because I was like, if this really is Dolores' fault, that's really disturbing. Like, if they'd been able to, like, keep him, you know, sexually dull for the rest of the trip, would
things have been okay? Think about baseball.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine that would have been the if he had lived that would have been the plot of the next Leprechaun, like if he ever gets a boner the rest of his life.
Right,
a leprechaun. Yeah. He's cursed.
Yeah.
Leprechaun 6, the boner.
Leprechaun in boner.
The unlucky boner.
So we get a whole bunch of just this movie sort of constantly resets. Like, they keep having Dr. Mittenhands explain that the princess's DNA can restore his body, which we've already had him explain to Harold, but, like, we just seem to get that scene again.
Well, I did enjoy the fact that they kind of explain how he got to that point where he tried to become the first human computer.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, the first human
computer. And his body, like, melded with the computer.
Yes.
That's what he's like now.
That was kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Who was this actor that played that guy? Because
I looked him up.
Really went all out.
He was famous for he was on like an English BBC sitcom that ran for like forever.
Like, I think it was like a Pirates of the Caribbean movie too, is what I saw.
The Dr. Mittenhands spinoff.
Yeah, he should have had a spinoff. Yeah. And the Marines are all just kind of like running around chasing. Wait, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff.
They're
Marines
just, yeah,
chasing
they're still
around.
Up there chasing, trying to find the leprechaun. They're getting kind of picked off.
And finally, Dolores comes across the leprechaun in a hallway, and she just like straight up blows him to pieces with her machine gun. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's where do we go from here? And it's like, nope. He just respawns. Yeah. You know, which
it's just like he didn't have to find another erection to come out of.
Yeah, no erection needed.
Yeah, why did they go through the trouble of going into a man's penis the first time when he could have just like
wanted to?
He was just like, well, this will be different.
He was curious.
I've never done this before.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about Warwick Davis, who I don't know. He's sort of I don't know. He's clearly having fun in what he's doing.
Yeah,
I guess like he's not the worst.
No,
thing
I think
in this
Leprechaun
movie.
Is fun.
Yeah.
Some of the lines are terrible.
He's
having fun with it.
He's sort of having fun.
He goes like full on Hamlet as well in this movie.
Yeah.
There's like so many
soliloquies.
I'm like, my God, when I'm watching Leprechaun 4 in space, like, I'm certainly not expecting this.
It's all monologues. Yeah. Yeah.
And once again, he's just like, he says the same thing in every one, too. He's like, it's almost like they think everyone has like attention deficit disorder watching this movie. Like, all right, just to recap, I'm still trying to get the queen so I can be the king and be rich, and then I'm going to kill her right after I wed her.
Because as you know, I really want the power, and you know, I want a kingdom. You know,
I'm tired of being belittled.
I'll bring this up again if anybody's been forgetting.
They should have just had like the whole narrator gone full like narrator and be like, meanwhile. The leprechaun still searching for his queen.
Yeah.
Where's my queen? Where? I must find my queen.
Sticks and books are in the engine room.
Saddened by the loss of her man, Dolores wonders if it was his fault that a leprechaun came out of his penis.
Yeah. So Dolores gets thrown over an edge of a balcony. She appears to fall like 100 feet, but when they find her at the bottom, she's still alive and says to the doctor, like, oh, kill that jerk. So now the Dr. Tina takes a machine gun and she's like, all right, let's get him. And I'm like, none of the Marines have any concerns that a medical doctor is just like, I'll take that weapon.
And why is she the one that seems to be like galvanized by her death? Like all the other Marines were the ones that like served with her and they're all kind of like, eh. And the doctor knew her for like 10 minutes. She's like,
You will be avenged.
Yeah.
The only other lady on the ship is dead.
Yeah.
It's probably because like us women don't get any respect around here.
Yeah. I have to say, Dr. Tina was my favorite performance in the movie. Like in terms of like what's actually good and bad, like she's the only one who's not openly chewing the scenery, basically, and seems to sort of be trying to give a real performance on some level. Like it almost doesn't fit in the movie marks? Because she
give a real performance.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, she's not terrible. Like her performance isn't terrible. The movie is terrible.
Yeah.
And she sort of stands out in the sense of like everyone else is taking it to 11, and she's sort of like, okay.
Speaking of her, the next scene, Harold is in the lab with Dr. Mittenhand.
Yes.
And I think they're just still talking about the plan.
still reminiscing about old times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a doorbell goes off, and it's like a legit doorbell sound.
Yeah.
Like at in a house. Now, it's like ding dong.
Yeah.
And Dr. Mittenhand's like, are you going to get the door? And Harold's like, yeah, okay, I'll get there. So he like looks at the video screen. They have like a video, you know, peephole. And it's Dr. Tina, and she's got her shirt off, and she's like holding her boobs, and she's like, oh, you gotta let me in. They took off all my clothes, and I need help, and blah. And he's like, okay, I'll let you in. And he's all excited about it. And so he like goes to open the door, and it comes to outside the door, and Tina turns to the camera, and she's got the leprechaun's voice. And she's, I can't remember the line, but something stupid. He's like, oh, thank you for letting me in. Ha ha. Like, yeah. Like, he's got like three lines, though. Like, by the way, I'm the leprechaun. If you
don't know. He really is.
I'm the leprechaun.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't get confused.
Yeah. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
So Harold opens the door.
I'm still looking for the queen.
Where's my gold?
Yeah.
So Harold opens the door, and there's no one there, and then the leprechaun pops out, and he, like, clubs him in the nuts with a stick, like his walking stick or something.
He, like, clubbed him in the nuts, and somehow got the stick to, like, stick.
Stick there,
yeah. Yeah, the stick is impacted in Harold's body somehow. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
The leprechaun does some weird things with that region.
Yeah. And then we get a scene where the leprechaun comes in, and Dr. Mittenhands is like, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, he starts laughing at
him. I'm ridiculous. You're even more ridiculous.
Look how tall you are.
Yeah. And they sort of laugh at each other for a little bit. And Harold manages to discovers
that the club like has a blade in it. Like a blade pops out.
He takes the stick out of his prostate, basically.
Yeah.
And he's sneaking up on the leprechaun as Dr. Mittenhand's like distracting him.
Yeah. And Harold like stabs the leprechaun, which does nothing because the leprechaun's all powerful. Like in this movie, there is no stopping the leprechaun. So the leprechaun then just grabs a metal plate, and Harold gets Looney Tuned. The leprechaun throws a plate at Harold and flattens Harold's face, but like a cartoon.
Like the shape of
pizza. A pizza. Yeah. But he's still alive somehow, because you can hear me like, and he dies of flat face, I think.
Yeah, he basically got like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit death.
That is a Who Framed Roger Rabbit death. Yes, exactly.
And what happens? Like he gets the princess off the table. Like he wakes up. Whatever.
He gets the princess, and then he starts injecting Dr. Mittenhands with a bunch of spider with the and DNA, scorpion DNA
with her DNA, and he puts like a scorpion spider in there, and then injects him with it.
Yeah, and then he also, with any.
This is where they go. What are you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say then he shows up. Because the Marines are still looking for him, and the leprechaun seems to be able to teleport, but somehow wasn't able to just teleport into the lab. Like, his powers really come and go. He teleports in, finds the Marines, covers the sergeant with dynamite, with leprechaun magic.
Well, they get in a shootout at the lab.
Yes. First, and that's right.
Then
they
go into that back corner.
Yes. And
so this is where the princess, though...
Yeah,
he's like, oh, the princess got something for you, and she's like, she starts talking like, this is you know your fault. This is all you, and she, like, she takes off her top and like shows him her breasts, and everyone's like looking like, oh, you brought this upon yourself. What's going on?
I don't even understand what this was. Like, she's hypnotizes everybody with her boobs, but for no
reason. She's not even hypnotizing them. She's just showing them.
Yeah, so people are just looking.
Yeah, they're really like, just looking. That's and, nice. But there's nothing gained by it, and there's nothing lost by it.
Yeah.
It's
they just explain after.
I gained something.
Yeah,
I
mean,
Well, and that one guy, Sticks, is like, hey, all right.
Yeah, Sticks is like, oh, hurt me first or whatever.
Yeah.
So then they leave because like, the Marines are all confused. Like, what just happened? And that's when Tina's like, oh, and on their planet, when royalty shows her breast to you, it's a death sentence. It's like,
oh, and even, okay. Even like, right. even they're not concerned about it. It's a little like, all right. Yeah. Like, okay. Her, if somebody tried to portray the princess's arc in this movie, it would be impossible. It doesn't.
Well, I think that's the peak of the arc right there.
I guess. Well, I guess so.
And that would have really done in Kowalski.
Oh, that's boner thing. That was the Leprechaun's backup plan, just in case.
This is like the most sexual, like, bad horror movie I think I've ever seen.
I think it is, and yet there's no. This is the most sexualized horror movie I've ever seen, but there is no sex in it.
Yeah.
Like, no characters actually have sex.
Yeah,
like it's just constantly being brought up and referenced, the most sexually referenced film. Yeah. So the leprechaun brainwashes the sergeant to where the sergeant now thinks he's working for the leprechaun.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a woman.
And then for some reason they show up back in the disco lounge and the sarge is now there dressed as a woman doing like a lounge act for what? I don't even know for what reason. I don't even know why we're seeing this.
To distract them once again?
But distract them from what? Like, it doesn't even, like, they, while the leprechaun and the princess had escaped.
Yeah.
While he looks for his gold, I guess?
I guess that's
now
what
we really could have used one of these soliloquies.
We really could have. Well, and this felt very 20 years ago because I think the quote-unquote joke in this scene is, ha ha ha, look at this man dressed as a woman. End of joke. Like, that was it. There was no, like, there was no actual material there. It was just, like, it's like that Mrs. Doubtfire, like, Tu Wong Fu, Julie Newmar theory of, like, nope, just seeing men dressed as women is so hilarious on its own. We don't even need jokes.
We don't have to tell the British that.
Yeah, that's right. As Benny Hill proved, that is just funny. On it, that's all you need. Yeah.
Then they got the old costume from Tootsie for this scene.
Yeah. And we also find out that Dr. Mittenhands has become a man-spider hybrid.
Scorpion.
Scorpion hybrid. The second time this summer we have seen someone become a DNA-spliced man-spider hybrid with this in Lost in Space.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So some great ideas never go away. Well, in the mid-90s,
this was like the thing.
Yeah, turn a human into a half spider and you're all set. So then what happens here? They get the Sarge to electrocute
himself.
They
have this really long fight scene.
Yeah, Tina, who's like, all movie long, she's like, oh, you pigs, you just kill, you kill, kill. We're not going to kill anybody. I don't want to kill anybody. And then she just straight up electrocutes the
he was being pretty annoying.
Well, he was being pretty annoying.
He was like dancing and
he's
cutting
kiss
people.
All the other guys.
Yeah, it was a weird scene. Yeah, well, he was alternating kissing people and like hurting them. Yeah.
And he was insisting on leading in the dances too. I mean, he wasn't even willing to share that.
Yeah, he wasn't even doing it right.
Yeah, that's not cool.
You can't live when you do that.
No, you've got to be willing to work together. Yeah, terrible. So then they split up. Sticks.
Well, this is the part too where they, after he gets electrocuted, his like head pops off.
Yeah.
His head case pops up. They're like, wow, he wasn't even human. He was a robot this whole time.
And it was kind of like, why?
Okay.
Yeah.
That played like, a part. How?
I know. It's like, oh, okay, this character who's dead now was a robot? All right.
Like, why did they go through that whole trouble of telling about his backstory where they're like, he saved a Marine, but part of his head got blown off, so they gave him a glass case to help him live.
Yeah.
So he didn't live, and then they just brought him back as a robot?
Or was he a robot that time, too?
Even books had no reactions. Books couldn't like, oh my god, that guy who was my hero was actually a robot, but he's just like, he's a robot.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Like, why was that a big twist?
I don't know. I don't even know why they did that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they already explained what he was. Like, why not just leave it at that?
Yeah,
it's not like they're trying to be Blade Runner or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe they wanted us to like feel better for the characters where it's like, no, they didn't kill their friend. Killed the robot. But it's like, it didn't really matter.
Which also begs the question, like, what was going on in that robot's hardwiring that like the robot could be brainwashed into cross-dressing and dancing?
Yeah. And how did the leprechaun know that? How did the leprechaun know, like...
Yeah, I feel like usually like in movies, like the cyborg's the one that's immune to those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Unless he really just wanted to do that and was like, hey, here's my excuse.
Yeah. I can just say I'm brainwashed. Get into this computer chips, we'll really flip things around. Yeah. Also, remember, I'm still trying to find my gold and I want to be all powerful, have a kingdom of my own. You know the rest.
You got it.
Yeah. So they split up and Styx, for some reason, has to go to the lab, and he gets caught in the spider's web.
There's a self-destruct sequence going
on. Oh, you're right, you're right. Yeah.
The leprechaun set the ship to self-destruct.
Yes.
So Styx has to go try to shut that down while Tina and Books are trying to kill the leprechaun still, I guess?
Yes, okay. That makes... Yeah.
Or no, they see the ship, the escape ship, is in a force field.
Oh, right, yeah.
So they try to get him to negotiate.
Yeah.
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 So they're all in the cargo bay and the leprechaun has found his gold, but it's very small because they had used the reducer and larger beam on it. And then Tina, like, I don't even think Tina tricks the leprechaun into stepping in front of the
enlarger. She accidentally turns it on. She doesn't even know it exists, I don't think.
I don't even think
I didn't even know what happened. I didn't even see her turn it on.
Yeah, they didn't show her turning it on. They just like, they showed him like push her away. And then they cut to, like, Books, and then they cut back to Leprechaun, and he's, like, stuck in
the laser beam. Yeah, the next shot is, like, this, laser beam. Like, what? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it took me a second to realize that it was the reducer in larger array. And then Books is like, what'd you do? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she must have, like, accidentally, like, run into the switch or something, but they didn't show it.
Yeah, no need to show that.
And now the Leprechaun is huge.
Yeah.
And he's rampaging through the cargo bay as Books is playing...
And he looks down his own pants too, and is impressed with the size of his own.
Ding
dong. There's not a scene that goes by without some sort of penis reference.
There's a ton of really, that is true. Wow.
It should have been called Leprechaun. I won't say it.
Nice. Save. You should. You know what you should do? You should trademark that quick. Because that's Leprechaun 10 would be. Could be that.
The guy will make that movie. So I mean, this is close enough to it.
And Books tells her, he's like, hey, get out of here. I'm going to stay here. You get out of here. Go help Styx with whatever he's doing.
I like how Books, at that point, unnecessarily rips his shirt off.
Yeah, he just takes it off.
Oh, yeah.
He's all Hulk Hogan, like, ugh.
Yeah. And then when she runs to go help Styx, the spider monster somehow, for no reason, rips her pants off. Like, I don't even know how that happened. Like,
yeah, he like got like her,
but it was like
pants with his like stinger.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like she was like, trying
came to right off too.
Yeah,
and she was wearing like breakaway pants,
just for that occasion.
I know.
And she's wearing like giant underwear underneath them too.
I was like, oh, is that like naked scene where she like where the leprechaun shapeshift into her? Is that like foreshadowing as to how this movie's gonna end?
Yeah.
No, it's really me this time. I'm naked.
Believe me.
So she finds a spider monster. She finds Styx. There's a bunch of foolishness. Styx is like, hey, there's a giant can of nitro right next to me that we've never set up before and no one's mentioned, but it's sitting right here. You should nitro that Spider-Man. And she
Scorpion
does.
Man.
Yeah. She's like, all right, you know. And then explodes him. And then I'm trying to think then what happens. Oh, then at the same time, Books grabs the princess.
Yeah, he grabs the princess and like finds like another door to go through into some other like closet or something.
And more sexual scenes ensue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, where the princess is like, hey there. She turns into like our latest Mae West impression. Yeah. She's like, hello there.
And he calls, or Styx and Tina, and he's like, open the cargo bay door. And they're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, open it. And so they open it, and that's when the leprechaun is sucked into space.
Sucked into explodes. Space. Yep.
Hence, we get our name, Leprechaun 4 in space.
In space. And then the ship is still self-destructing, so Books just leaves the princess there and is like running up, and they're all like, there's a scene I just have in my notes is like called Password Panic, because everyone's like, I don't know what the password is. I can't think of the password. What's the password? And then immediately they just start going like, ah, what did Dr. Mindnance refer to himself as? He was a genius. Try genius. Does genius work? No. He also said he was a wizard. Wizard. Oh, wizard works. Yeah. And I'm like, it's the craziest scene of people typing words into a computer you could have. And then they...
Some of their guesses are so bad. Like, oh, he was a doctor. Try doctor.
They tried scientist. They tried brilliant scientist.
Yeah.
Brilliant scientist.
Oh, try microscope. Try microscope.
Try mitten hand is the best.
Try then, laser cats 526.
And then
Scorpion Spider-Man 65. Exclamation point.
And then leprechaun.
That's basically it, right? Like, they just... Oh, and the leprechaun...
Try penis.
That would have been the most fitting one.
Try
boner.
That would have been the password most likely. And the leprechaun's like floating hand goes by and gives them the bird.
Didn't that happen in another movie we watched, or am I thinking of something else?
I think it's quite possible. Did see that.
Like, I feel like it was in Supernova. Yeah, like a...
I feel like we have seen that in a movie. And we still, I don't know what happens with the princess, who basically had become a secondary villain by the end of this movie. And I guess she's just alive and hanging out by the cargo bay.
She's out flashing people on another planet.
Yeah. You would even think there was going to be some kind of a payback for that, like, death sentence they all received, you know. And it's like, no, she's just there too, I guess.
Yeah.
And that is it. That's the end of the movie. Yeah, this was a crazy movie. I don't even know if we've fully explained how crazy some of this movie is.
We certainly tried.
Yeah. Let's do. I do have a so wrong it's right question, but let's do our is it so bad it's good first. Cody, let's start with you. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think it was fun. I laughed. I thought it was just wacky fun movie. And I always like. I liked seeing the sticks guy there. He's in some other stuff.
He was in Street Fighter. Remember him? He was DJ in Street Fighter.
Okay. Well, yeah. I know him from Return of the Living Dead. And okay. He's in Friday 13th Part 5 too. So I always like seeing him pop up in things.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun. I had fun with it.
Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I want to watch it again.
I might
watch that flashing scene again. Other than that,
I did watch that again.
I think I'm right in between the two of you. It was fun, and there was stuff in it that was so crazy. It was funny, but like a lot of the Dr. Mittenhand stuff just didn't work for me. And
they must have had someone on set to constantly put like eye drops in his eyes.
Yeah,
because he never blinked.
Oh yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Obviously, and starting out with this movie, I felt the same way. Whenever I see a movie that takes place in the future and it starts with space marines, I kind of like groan and like buckle up because I know they're like all the same kind of movie. But this one kind of took it.
I was gonna say, boy, were you in for a surprise with this one?
Yeah. That's when I saw space marines. I was like, oh, no. They took it in like a more fun.
I am surprised they didn't establish at all what the leprechaun was doing in space, but
yeah, they didn't even bother with it. Just like he's in space.
He's also just dressed like a leprechaun. like, and people refer to him as an alien, but like he's wearing a green top hat. Yeah. Like, how many aliens do you know?
Don't you know what a leprechaun is? Why do you guys keep referring to him as an alien? Like, it's clearly a leprechaun.
Yeah, I mean,
and he keeps talking about trying to find his gold.
He's got pointy boots. I mean, like what other aliens are they fighting that have pointy boots and green top hats? You know,
it's almost bad as that Easter Bunny alien we fought last December.
Oh,
it's a whole series of holiday mascot
themed in space. Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to read the director of this film. I went through his IMDb page last night. It's full of craziness, although he just made a movie with John Cusack and Thomas Jane. Yeah. Real actor, John Cusack, just made a movie, this director. I'm going to read five titles. Four of the titles are real names of movies this guy's made. Only one of the five is made up. You guys can choose. Ready? We're going to start with Tyrannosaurus Azteca, Pimpin' Pee-wee, Ocelots and Oranges, Atomic Dog, and Danger Freaks.
I'm going to say Pimpin' Pee-wee.
Pimpin' Pee-wee. Do you want to read them again?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, can you read the last three again?
The last three, Ocelots and Oranges, Atomic Dog, and Danger Freaks.
All right, I'll go with Atomic Dog.
Nobody. Those are real movies he made. Ocelots, Ocelots and Oranges was the fake title. Tyrannosaurus, Azteca, Pimpin' Pee-wee, Atomic Dog, and Danger Freaks, real movies. Wow.
What was Pimpin' Pee-wee?
I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was
like
about.
Like a ripoff of Pee-wee Herman?
I feel like that's it probably was. Yeah. Feel like that was probably a ripoff. Yeah, this was a crazy one.
Well, we just got a new like on the Stop the Movie page.
Oh.
Ooh, someone must be listening live right now.
That in the biz is shout what we call to, a segue.
Shout out to Tom Legg.
Oh, nice. As Cody is live, giving us live updates, you can like our Facebook page, Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Always funny pictures on there. Our Twitter page, at Wind Up Films. And those are probably the best two ways to contact us. We've had a bunch of people reach out on the Twitter page recently, which we always appreciate.
Ooh.
And shout out to fan of the show and friend of the show, our friend Christy, who this morning asked me if we would consider doing Mad Max Fury Road as a podcast movie, which I said we cannot. Far too good. Yeah. She disagreed.
Brian is appalled.
Brian is appalled at this idea.
I mean, I'm a big Tom Hardy fan, so you're coming at Tom Hardy. You're coming at me.
What would you do if Tom Hardy and Sharon Stone were in a movie together?
I'd probably go into... I'd go into a theater. I'd bring a camera.
Okay.
And I would record it, so I would always have it.
Why can't you just wait till it came out on DVD?
I couldn't wait that long. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I can't wait that long. Are you serious?
So really do that, you might actually have to go fly to Thailand or somewhere, you know, to be able to do this, set up the camera, and have it.
I feel like, though, nobody bootlegs movies like that anymore.
I do feel like...
Like, nowadays, everyone gets, like, digital copies of it somehow online.
Yeah. Because you used to just be on the streets of New York and you would see somebody selling like DVDs of new movies. And you don't really
Maybe I'll bring bootlegging back.
Could be. If Tom Hardy...
Probably not the smartest thing to do to announce it, but...
public forum. Well, then again, we're also talking about a hypothetical world where Sharon Stone and Tom Hardy make a movie
It could happen.
It certainly could.
Why not?
It's an alternate world where Sharon Stone is attractive.
There's no... burned.
How do you not find Sharon Stone attractive?
I'm just trying to get you going, Brian.
Burn.
I know how much
you
I
want a leprechaun to come out of my pants?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And before we go, I did want to apologize. I apologize for this on my own Facebook page. Over the past few weeks, I've interviewed both Billy Baldwin and Tom Berenger and asked them a combined total of 0 questions about Sliver.
And when I saw that Tom Berenger was going to be in town, I was like, I hope Alex gets to interview him, and I hope Alex asks him about Sliver. That was like the first thought that came in my head.
I feel very guilty about it. I also asked Keith David 0 questions about They Live. I know, this is really...
What is wrong with you?
You asked about The Thing, though, right?
I did get to talk to him about The Thing a little bit. It was sort of like a press junket opportunity. There was another reporter there.
Well, forget all the questions that you're supposed to ask and just ask about Sliver and...
If there's
other people there, they're going to ask all the questions you need anyway.
Yeah. That's probably true. Well, we kind of needed... Well, I don't know, sort of. I did need to get some real questions into for my day of story. But I do feel pretty guilty about that. And as I said to Cody,
I'd love if you came back to the station just to turn to story about Sliver.
Story about the podcast.
Also,
the newsroom's like, what the fuck?
Continuing coverage tonight, Keith David discusses that 10-minute fight scene from a movie 20 years ago.
Did he put on the glasses? Tune in at 5.
Yeah.
It could have been a throwback Thursday feature.
I know. That would have been a very interesting day at work. And as I said to Cody on Facebook, I look forward to interviewing Sharon Stone very soon and not asking her about Sliver or Basic Instinct 2. We will be back very soon. Now, will I be back? Hopefully.
After that, no.
At some point, I will be going on a sabbatical. Hopefully, I have a few more episodes for me before the sabbatical. But yeah, once the Wonder Twins arrive... You will be seeing some fantastic guest hosts.
You're gonna take you're gonna go Andy Wolf on us here.
I will be. I will be like an Andy Wolf-like figure, lingering in the fringes, spoken of but rarely in presence.
Heard from.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to have your twins on the podcast at some point.
Oh, they'll be watching terrible movies pretty soon, pretty early on.
We'll do like a terrible children's movie.
We should do another terrible children's movie. I can't pitch any movies we might do in case we don't do them, but I do actually have some ideas on that. And we'll be back. And this is our first of the horrible Halloween. And we'll be back with much more. All right. I think that does it for this week. We'll see you back here soon.
Dismissed!